Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Maura. Maura Cleary is a certified life coach and mindfulness practitioner, which I need so badly. She is joining us today to talk about celiac disease. Welcome to the show, Maura.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Hi. Thanks for coming on.
Yes. Thank you for taking time out of your day.
It's great. Maura, what is celiac disease?
So according to the Mayo Clinic, celiac disease is an immune reaction to eating gluten. Gluten is a protein which can be found naturally in wheat, rye, and barley. And when someone with celiac disease consumes or is exposed to the gluten, we have a physical reaction to the lining of the small intestine. If people with celiac continue to eat gluten, this reaction causes damage to the small intestine. And this can lead to malabsorption of nutrients and a host of other symptoms.
In your case, Maura, what symptoms led you to your diagnosis?
Well, there are many possible symptoms of celiac disease, which may include digestive symptoms like diarrhea, constipation, fatigue, gas, bloating, weight loss, abdominal pain, nausea, and vomiting. In addition, someone with celiac disease might have osteoporosis or osteomalacia, I think it said, dermatosis, which is really like the itchy, blistery skin rash, anemia, ulcers, some get headaches, joint and nerve pain, and weakness. So in my case, I get migraines, dermatosis, stabbing gut pain, constipation, bloating, and if you give me a beer, I'll vomit as well.
Oh, wow.
Good to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like with those symptoms, was the doctor able to make a diagnosis pretty quickly, or did you have to have extra testing to determine the cause of the symptoms?
Yeah, well, first I'll tell you about the several tests that can help your healthcare provider make the diagnosis. And these include, but aren't limited to, getting a blood test known as a serology test, which looks at the antibodies in your blood. And an increased level of specific antibodies is indicative of an immune response to gluten. There are also genetic tests, which looks for two specific human
leukocytes.
Thank you. We know that one.
Yeah, we've been talking about leukocytes before.
It gets me every time. Anyway, the antigens. So it's HLA-DQ2 and HLA-DQ8. And these antigens are found within 100% and can be used to rule out celiac disease.
Okay.
Right.
In addition, the blood tests, you can also have your healthcare provider, they might recommend getting an endoscope. And these help your healthcare provider see the lining of the small intestine and retrieve samples for further analysis. For individuals with possible dermatitis herpetiformis, your doctor may actually take a skin biopsy for the microscopic analysis.
Wow. And what do they do to help diagnose your condition?
So my condition, they started with the blood test, and then they went on to the biopsy. But I actually was just looking at my raw data of my genes, and I do have the genetic testing came up positive for them. So it was clear I was due to get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. And how do they know what causes celiac disease?
You know what? Right now, they don't have the exact cause. There are a number of theories. One, it's more common with individuals with family members that have celiac or dermatitis, herpetiformis, or autoimmune thyroid disease, type 1 diabetes, Turner syndrome, Down syndrome, microscopic colitis, and Addison's.
Okay. And oh, sorry.
Well, I guess if it's genetic, that's a pretty easy way to determine a cause, right?
Yeah,
it is. But sometimes, you know, it depends what generation you're born in. So my generation, it was still so new. We were still learning about food allergies.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually didn't find out until I was 38 when I brought my daughter to the pediatric GI to find out what was going on with her.
Was it like an aha moment where you were like, oh my gosh, that's what that is?
Yes. I've been telling the story recently that it was an epiphany. I was laying on her bed one night and she's in excruciating pain. You can't help her. And I thought, I've been dealing with this for 38 years. Why can't you deal with it? Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
After that epiphany, we went to the doctor and she got her diagnosed. And then he looked at me for questions, because of genetics. And he's like, yes, and you have it too.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Well, that's a hard way to find out. How old is your daughter now?
Now she is 18. It was 9 years ago.
Okay. And besides your daughter, do you have any friends or family that have it?
I have no friends that have it, no close friends. We have all internet friends now. Mm-hmm. But I had my whole side of my family get testing done. Okay. And unfortunately, my father passed away. I believe it probably he had it. But my brother did turn up positive for celiac as well.
And how has your healthcare team treated this condition?
Sure. Well, like I said, it's been 9 years since mm-hmm. the diagnosis. So right now they're really just checking to make sure that there's no gluten creeping in within contamination and other forms. So they run tests regularly for that. But in the beginning, it was about education, not only about removing the gluten from all those things, but also what nutrients my body needs because of the malabsorption of foods.
Well, speaking of gluten, Maura, can you tell us what foods actually contain gluten?
We could be here forever.
All right.
I'll give you some, just so you get a scope. So besides wheat products and products made from wheat like barley, bulgur, durum, farina, gram, flour, malt, rye, semolina, spelt, and triacal, which is really like a wheat-rye hybrid, gluten is hidden in foods and medications and non-food products in a lot of areas.
I didn't realize all of that, did you?
I kind of had a feeling, but I didn't realize that having such a small amount might make a difference.
Yes. It's really like a build upon. So sometimes you can get, your intestines will get upset from a little bit, but sometimes a little bit over time can really
gotcha.
Build up.
And you were saying that it can be hidden.
Yeah.
Where can it be hidden?
Yes, so it can be hidden in food starches, food stabilizers, prescription and over-the-counter medications, vitamins and minerals, herbals and nutritional supplements, lipstick, toothpaste, mouthwash.
Wow.
Even communion wafers, envelope stamp, like the glue on an envelope, and even Play-Doh.
Play-Doh?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't eat the
Play-Doh.
Don't eat the Play-Doh.
Another episode, but that's... and I guess, because when I go to the store, I mean, you always see the areas that say gluten-free and all of that. I imagine with you and your daughter, it obviously that's number one on your mind now. I don't know. I'm kind of like, wow, because I did not realize that it was in
it's so,
so
many
prevalent.
Places. Right,
yeah.
Right.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just stunned at the length of all of it.
Yeah. Well, there is more, but it'll make more sense. Like, so the reason why it's in so many things is because it's a glue inside of products. So it makes things stick together. It makes things combine. So that's why it's used. So that's why it's used. Clearly beers and ales and malt vinegars have it, but like candies and gravies, imitation meats and seafood, processed lunch meat, rice mixes, salad dressings, snack foods, self-basting, poultry soups. And like when I say those things that you see like imitation meats, like you have to combine things together. So that's why they use gluten to do that.
Okay.
Can I ask
right.
one more question? Where do you not find gluten then?
Water.
I think we're going to talk about that.
I mean, this is, I mean, yeah, okay, sorry. I don't mean to get ahead of it.
Yeah, is water.
It's pretty funny. Like when you hear things like that, it's funny because my daughter went out to get milk the other day and she's like, Mom, don't worry. I got the Mayfield because it's gluten-free. And I was like, are you kidding me? She's like, no, it was labeled gluten-free. I'm like, it's milk. So there can be that ridiculous side, like eggs are gluten-free. Like, but actually we, in our family, we eat everything we used to. We just do gluten-free substitutes. Like we have soy sauce substitute, and so we eat pretty normal meals at our house.
Okay.
So you can do it. You don't just have to have water.
That's good to know.
Yeah. It's come a long way. Thank goodness.
So do you follow, I guess you started to say...
the gluten-free diet,
yeah.
Right? Has that helped you any?
Oh my gosh, yes. So for most people with celiac disease, a gluten-free diet can, you know, just allow your body to heal, your small intestine to heal. For kids, it usually lasts like starts at 3 to 6 months. And then for adults, for complete healing, it might take several years. So in our case, I felt the difference within 2 weeks.
Oh,
my
wow.
migraines were gone within a month. And my skin healed within 3 months.
Fantastic.
But it takes longer for all the, you know, the scars to go away. But it was a huge difference, yeah.
And what foods can you safely eat? And
when it comes to grains, like that's really, you know, the question mark. Amaranth and buckwheat and cornmeal are okay. Gluten flours like rice, soy, corn, potato, and beans. There's a lot of those. We eat corn tortillas and quinoa, a lot of rice, tapioca, and wild rice.
Oh, so rices are okay.
Yep, rices and potatoes and corn are all okay. Mm-hmm.
So, Maura, when you found out about you and your daughter and you were talking with your family, what about, I guess, prior to this where you weren't feeling very well, what support did you get from your family and friends, or what was the situation with how you were feeling?
It became night and day. So when my family really saw, they all knew, you know, what I was like beforehand, although I didn't really tell many people, you know, things you don't tell people. But my husband really saw a difference, my kids did. So they saw, you know, the night and day between me being in pain and uncomfortable all the time to not being in pain. So everybody has been really supportive. And once my husband realized how sensitive to gluten my daughter and I are, he suggested that our whole house become a gluten-free zone. So he and our other daughter, our youngest one, don't have celiac. So in our house, they eat gluten-free because it's so easy for my other daughter and I to get contaminated.
Right.
And then when we go traveling to visit family, we actually bought like a little pot and pan and cutting board for each house. So we know when we can go, we have products that we can use so we don't get contaminated.
Well, that's wonderful. And how common is celiac disease?
Yeah. I feel like it's becoming more common. I don't know if we're just getting more used to it, but it's about 1 in 100 people, like 1% people have celiac, an inherited immune disease. And about 0.4% of people have doctor diagnosed wheat allergy. So there was a study in 2006, and those people are truly allergic response to gluten, wheat, I'm sorry, that includes the gluten. And they can have respiratory issues or gastrointestinal issues, excuse me. The larger group of people actually have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And they also produce similar symptoms, but it's not very understood by experts. And we don't really know the mechanism of why they have that. And so that's really what the National Foundation of Celiac Awareness says, that 18 million Americans have some non-celiac sensitivity to gluten.
Oh, that's okay. A big group.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
So, Maura, earlier we alluded to you being a life coach. What made you decide to become a life coach, and do you help others that have celiac disease through your role of a life coach?
Yeah. I really became a life coach just to help others find their strength and confidence in themselves. So often we get information bombarded from everybody else around us at how we're supposed to think and do and learn. And that's really why I started coaching. But once there are things in life that we're unprepared for that can shake the way that we believe or think about things, it becomes an issue. Like, as parents, when we have something like celiac happen in our lives, or we don't have celiac, but our child does, it can be really hard to wrap our heads around what that means to us and what that means to our families. And so many of my clients are moms in this position where we're caring for children with different conditions.
Well, that's a great position to be in, to be able to help so many people. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips, hints, or advice to someone who was recently diagnosed with celiac?
Don't be overwhelmed. That's my first piece of advice. You know, just take each thing as you're ready and prepared for it, and you can go slow and as fast as you want. That there are apps out there with scan bars, so you can just download an app, and believe me, if it costs money to download the app, do it. It is worth it. Just pay the money so you can go in and safely start understanding what products you can use and not use. I swear the first 6 months I cried every time I went grocery shopping because I didn't have this app.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's something that you can actually look and do your grocery shopping based on what you have to keep out of your list, right?
Exactly. So you go and you just pick up the product and you scan the barcode.
Okay.
And it has all of the usually beforehand you type in like what your issue is. So if it's gluten or fish or whatever allergy, so to speak, you have. And then it will scan all the codes for those things.
Oh, that's amazing. We're going to put a link for that on our website.
Yeah. I haven't used it in a while, so I'll find it for you and I'll give it to you.
Great. We appreciate that.
Yeah. And then the other one we actually use a lot are one for restaurants. So you can go and look up what restaurants have gluten or gluten-free items around you, and you can read reviews from other people. Okay. So you can see if it's a safe place or if it's not a safe place to eat.
Are there actually gluten-free restaurants?
I've found them over in Europe, and I had a great trip over in the UK last summer. We had a great restaurant. I couldn't believe it was gluten-free. But for the most part, you don't find that. You might find bakeries that are gluten-free, but a lot of the restaurants will have specific areas that they don't cross-contaminate pots and pans and spoons, so that would be a safe place to eat.
Okay, good.
That's good information to know, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Maura, thank you so much for joining the show today. It's been very, very, very informative. How can our listeners learn more about you? Do you have any websites or in any way we can find out more about who you are and what you do?
Oh, absolutely. So my website is focuseddirection.com, and I'm on Facebook at Focused Direction and Instagram as well. But if there's any moms listening out there that fall in that category of caring for children with conditions, if you go to focuseddirection.com/podcastdx, there's a special identifier. And you can download a PDF with tips and guidance for your specific stage in the process.
Well, that's super.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Welcome.
And we will put that link on ours as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, if our listeners have any questions, comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding medical condition or treatment before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.